We are holding on some Chesed Aleph, six lines from the bottom. Okay. Our Mishnah had talked about a case where you have an animal, a pregnant animal, where the baby stuck out a limb, a foreleg, for example, and then put it back in. We said it's mutter b'achila. So what do we mean by it? Do we mean the baby as a whole is mutter b'achila, that once you shech the mother, then the baby is included in that shchita as well? Or do we mean that but the aver itself, that it stuck out, would be also, or do we mean that even the aver itself would be mutter? So we had Rav Yehuda Amar Rav telling us that the aver itself would be aser. And we went through a couple of possible challenges on him, and we shlugged them up. So Toshma, let's prove from our Mishnah, Behema Hamakshalelid, we said if a pregnant animal is having difficulty giving birth.
The question is whether it's the leg whether or, it's the or the whole animal.
The whole animal is definitely mutter. We have no reason to think that not. But would the leg also be mutter since it put it back in? So Toshma, Behema Hamakshalelid, Hoitzi Oberus Yadiv Hazira. We said in the Mishnah that if the unborn baby stuck out its leg and then put it back inside, then you shechted the mother animal while the baby was still inside, mutter b'achila, then we say it is mutter b'achila. And again, the Pashas, we would assume that it means the whole thing, including it. And the Mishnah continues, shochat et imoi v'achaka chazira, or actually this is the Mishnah, this is the Braisa, shochat et imoi v'achaka chazira, but if you shechted the mother while that limb was still sticking out, and then the baby put that limb back in, also b'achila, then that limb would be also b'achila. And continues the Braisa, what about another case? Suppose the baby put out its leg, or its arm, its foreleg, whatever, then you have a third possibility. So far we had one where it put it back, where it stuck it out and then put it back in before the mother was shechted. Another one where it stuck it out and was still sticking out while the mother was shechted. And the third case we have over here is it stuck out its leg, you cut off that leg that was sticking out, then you shechted the mother animal. Then what happens is like this. The part that was outside, is Eiver Menachai, and it's considered for that purpose like Nevela, as far as the dinim of Tumah. So Tomei is Tomei as Nevela of an animal. The Osir, and it's also to eat, as any Nevela would be, or it's actually...
Because the point
is, in other words, we're saying that it has Tumas Nevela, and it's also as Eiver Menachai. Wait, V'shebefnim Toher Mutter, the part that we remained inside is Toher and is Mutter to eat, because it didn't get any Tumas Oichlin. The Tumah of food. It has to be food, first of all, and it wasn't, because it wasn't shechted yet, and it wasn't Mokshel Kabel Tumah either, for that matter. But anyway, the point is that, so like this, the part that you chopped off is considered Nevela, and is Osir, and is in fact Tomei Tumas Nevela. The part that's inside is Mutter. What about the other way around? If the limb was still sticking out at the time of the Shechita, which we said before, we said also b'achila, then afterwards you chopped off that limb that was sticking out. First you shechted, then you chopped off the limb. Then the din is habosa maga nevela. So now what you have is the meat. And Rashi says, when we mean the meat, we mean of the entire mother animal as well as of the baby animal. All of it is maga nevela gibir meir. All of it is considered that it touched nevela. So says your mayor. In other words, what it is like this.
Sticking limb is nevela.
The limb that stuck out is nevela. So now, when you shechted the mother, at that point, the mother animal and the baby became food, because now they're shechted, now they're able to be eaten. And typically, they're mukshel l'kabel tumah. As we learned earlier in the Masechta, usually blood comes out, and that's makshel l'kabel tumah. Okay, we had Reb Shimon saying that even if blood doesn't come out, it's still mukshel b'shechita. But anyway, the point is, usually blood comes out, therefore it'll be mukshel for that reason alone. Therefore, that leg itself will be nevela, but everything else will be like food that touched the nevela. So, in other words, the nevela itself is an avat truma. The rest of it will be a rishon, the truma. Give it a meir. That's what a meir says. The chachamim will say it won't quite be that. The fact of the matter is that leg was attached to the baby animal at the time of shechita. So now it's true that the shechita doesn't make it mutter to eat. But what it does is it accomplishes at least that piece is not considered nevela anymore, as far as dinei tumah v'taharah. Well, it's also to eat. So that's why you're asking, why does it need to say also if it said tumah v'taharah nevela? Because according to the mayor, it has both those things. According to Chachamim,
it doesn't.
We're saying it has an iser to eat, because basi l'asada tereza, but it's not nevela. it's considered magat trefer shchuta. It's considered, therefore, that limb is considered like a trefer that was shechted, which does not have the same degree of truma. Later on in the parak, we're going to talk about that there's a concept, midaraisa, and we actually have this in Zvachim, that once an animal is shechted, is done a proper shchita, then there's no longer has tumas nevela, whether it's allowed to be eaten or not, meaning even if it was a trefer, as long as it was shechted, that takes away the tumas nevela. But we're going to learn later on in our parak that there is a tumah on it, midrabanan, at least as far as kodshim is concerned.
That's therefore.
So the chachamim, the source is going to be later on in our parak, but the chachamim are saying over here, what happens therefore is that leg is considered trefer shchuta. The rest of the mother and of the baby that touched that is considered what touched Tveikha Shota. So therefore, in other words, if it was Cholin, it wouldn't be anything. Only if it's Kodshim, only if the mother was Kodshim, would we be talking about the degree of Tumah that it has
Drap on. Kodshim,
Kodshim, maybe because of Chibas Kodshim. I don't know. Later on, we'll discuss it later on, Dafai and Gimel, and see why exactly. But yeah, there is that idea that there is a concept of, Maybe it's because of Chibat HaKodesh. Trefesh
HaShachtam Metame B'Mikdashim?
Yeah. You actually have a little bit of a discussion. Are we talking about that? The trefer was shechted even if it's chulin has the power to be metame mukdashim, to be metame kodshim, or do we mean only if the kodshim themselves were tame? Okay, that's a side issue. But anyway, the point is, katani miyaresha. Bottom line is, let's go back to the beginning of the brisa, which was hoisi over its yode behavior. We said if the baby stuck out its forearm and then put it back in. Later on, you shechted the mother after the limb that stuck out is back in. Mutar ba'achila. It is mutar ba'achila. So what do we mean by it? My lav a'aver. On the face of it, the braita is referring to the aver. So therefore, the aver, even the aver is mutar to eat, not like Rabbi Yehuda told us in the name of Rav. The answer is loy a'uber. Not necessarily. It's talking about the eat. It's talking about the baby as a whole. You're allowed to eat because the shechita of the mother makes the baby mutar to eat. The question is, again, Ema Sefer, similar to in a previous one that we had in this sugya. Ema Sefer, look at the next part of the Mishnah, of the Braisa. Shochat Ema V'achaka Chazira, Osa V'achila. We said if you shech the mother and only afterwards does the baby pull the limb back in, then it is also to eat. That's the question. Be Yoba, am I also? If you're talking about if you're saying that the Braisa is referring to the baby as a whole, why would the baby as a whole be also to eat? Because it stuck out one limb. Yeah, no, it stuck it out before the shchita, but it's still outside at the time of the shchita. But why would that make that the shchita of the mother is not metaher the baby as a whole? So Mela, if you say that the braita is telling us in the first case even the limb is mutter, and in the second case because the limb was still outside at the time of shchita, it's also fine. Then it goes very smoothly. But on the other hand, then we would have a contradiction on that. If you say that the braita is telling us that in the first case where it pulled the leg back in before the shchita, then even the leg is mutter. And if it didn't pull it back in, if it was still out at the time of the shchita, then the leg is also, then it goes very smoothly. But on the other hand, then it contradicts Rav. If we say though that the braisa is saying if it pulled it back in, then you're going to say the leg is also, the baby is still mutter. What are you going to say in the sefer? Are you going to say the baby is also also? Why should the baby be also? Because it stuck out one leg. The answer is Amar of Nachum, Kid Amar of Nachum. So just like Rav Nachum says a little later in the studia, further down on the Amar, in connection with another braita that we're going to bring in this connection, where Rav Nachum explains LeNitzrucha Ela LeMakom Chasach that the chiddush is only, you're right, the leg is also either way. The chiddush is that the Makom Chasach, the place of the cutting itself, in other words, you have, if the leg is sticking out from here and out, for example, so you top it off, but you have the actual surface that you chopped off itself. Is that surface that was actually on a line with the edge of the womb? Right. So therefore, is that part mutter or not? So Rav Nachman tells us later on in the Braisa, later on, that's another Braisa that we're going to quote, is saying that you have to be told about the Makom Chasach itself. That was, there's a case where that place is also itself. In other words, you have to cut a little bit inside of that, and places where not. Hachanami, the same thing in our case. We would say that either way, whether the baby brought the limb back in or not. Either way, the limb itself is going to be ulcer. The difference would be if it brought it back in, only the part that was stuck out is ulcer, but the makam chasach will be mutter. If the limb was still sticking out at the time of shechita, not only the limb itself, whatever is sticking out, will be ulcer, but also the makam chasach, also the surface that you create by cutting, which is right on the line with the womb, with the edge of the womb. You would have to cut a little bit inside of that, and the rest will be ulcer. Okay, so still no contradiction against that.
What would be a real contradiction against
that? If we found something that says clearly that the limb itself is mutter as long as it brought it back in. So far, we haven't found that. So far, the various brachos that we've quoted, Rav had said that regardless whether it pulls it back in or not, either way, that limb is ulcer. So far, we haven't found anything to contradict that. Okay. So now the question is, Amy, is that so?
That
we have no contradiction against Rav yet. When Avimi came from Bechozoi, is the name of a place. It was in the Persian Empire. Nowadays it's in southern Iran. Anyway, also he came from there. And along with him he brought a brisa which the Chachamim didn't know of before. The brisa says like this. Now you have like this. You have a pasuk in Parshas Re'e. That says Kol behema mafresas parsa v'shetzat shesa profes malas gera behema oisa techelu. Any animal that has split herbs and chew its cud, that those are the animals that you can eat. Now that is the pasuk. The Gemara is going to explain later on in the sugya. From that pasuk is b'chlal where we learn this whole concept of ben pekua. This concept that if you shech the mother and find a baby and find a live baby inside, that you're allowed to eat it without shechita. We learn from part of this pasuk. So therefore, because it says babahema, and the Gemara is going to explain later, babahema means whatever you find inside the animal. So now when it says, in the pasuk, it mentions twice about the hooves. It starts saying, mafresas parsa, and then it continues, v'shetas shesha shei prosoi. So parsa is singular, prosoi is plural. So what does it mean? So the Braisa says, parsa, what it means is like this. When you have one single hoof means hechzer, if it put it back inside, echol, then you're allowed to
eat. Outside?
Yeah, echol, then you're allowed, and it brought it back in, echol, you're allowed to eat it. Parsois, or prosois, when it has hooves, plural, if it has two hooves that were stuck out, hechzer, and it put them out, also echol, you can also eat them. Now, my love, now doesn't the brisa mean, hechzer parasa echel parasa, means we put back in the one hoof that it stuck out. You're allowed to eat even that one hoof. So again, not like Rav who says that hoof itself that it stuck out is going to be osur. Well, it says it's Eid Menachai, to be exact. It has, Rameir said it has Tumas Nevela, whatever. But the point is that the brisa is saying that you're allowed to eat it. The answer is like, no, that's not what the brisa means. Hechzer parasa echel uber. No, it means if it put back in the hoof that stuck out, then now you're allowed to eat the uber, you're allowed to eat the baby as a whole.
Without the parsa.
So the question is, the uber my area hechzer, after the hechzer nami. So you're back to the question that we had before. In that case, why is it important to mention that it put it back in? According to Rav, it makes no difference whether it put it back in or not, because either way, the hoof that stuck out is ulcer.
Right.
And here's where, Omer of Nachman Leitzchok, so here's the context, where Rav Nachman Leitzchok originally said his explanation, that the chiddush is, in other words, that what the braisa is telling us, what you learn from the pasuk from parsa and prasois, is as long as it put it back in, then the makam chasach itself you'll be able to eat. You want us to cut off any further than what actually stuck out, as opposed to if it was still protruding, if it was still outside the womb at the time of the shechita, then you would have to cut a little bit further inside of that to get also the in order that the, because the makam chasach itself will be also the part that's flush with the outside of the womb.
So that's the finish.
If it brings it back in, then you don't need to worry about the makam chasach. You just need to cut off the part that was outside and further. As opposed to otherwise, yeah. Okay. So, the question is, so this is the context where Rav Nachman Leitzchok originally said his explanation, which previously the Gemara applied to our Mishnah and to another Braita and whatever, also in order to not contradict what Rav is saying. Okay. The question then is, Vaha But after all, you don't just have one posik. You have the word in the same way. You have two words in the same posik. You have the word parsa and you have the word precise. So if you're just telling me about the makom chasach, why do you need both of them? L'chora, one of them is telling you that there's a case where the makom chasach is mutter, and the other one is telling you that there's a case where the leg as a whole is mutter. The answer is one. Chad l'makom chasach l'chad l'kolot from the apar. One of them is teaching us, as we just said, that, as Rav Nachman Yitzchok explained, that the makom chasach will be mutter as long as it brought the leg back in. The other one, where you have parasa and you have prosoit, the other one is teaching us a concept like this. Suppose you find, now sometimes you can have, okay, so normally,
my love,
shouldn't we think that my love, chadla aver, one is teaching us that the aver as a whole is mutter, but chadla makam chasak, and one is teaching us in some cases the aver will be osir, but the makam chasak will be mutter. And in that case, we still have a contradiction on Rav. The answer is life. Because Rav says the aver is always osir.
Right.
The answer is life. No. Chadla makam chasak, chadla kolot from the apara. One of them is teaching us the makam chasak, that if it's put its hoof back in, then you're allowed to eat the makam chasak, you're just also to eat the part that was actually outside. The other one is telling us a whole different case. Suppose that you have, now, normally a kosher animal has split hooves, right? But you can have, just like with people, sometimes you have people who are born with fewer fingers or toes than they're supposed to, so you can have with an animal, basically the hooves are like the fingernails. And they have bones behind them that are like our fingers. So you can have an animal that's born deformed and doesn't have split hoof. It's born with fewer fingers than it's supposed to, and therefore it's born with one hoof instead of two. Mm-hmm. So superficially, it's like a non-kosher animal. And the point is like this. Now, we have like this. You have a machloekas of Reb Shimon and the Chacham. Reb Shimon holds that if the question is, let's say you have a cow gave birth to a deformed baby like that does not have split hooves. It has one hoof on each foot. Are you allowed to eat it or not? Reb Shimon says no. The Chachamim say yes. Even Reb Shimon is going to agree, l'kolot b'me'ei parah, that if you find the color, which means an animal that has a non-split hoof, that's deformed like that, and it's born with its hooves joined together, if it's been a para, if it's in the womb of the para, you would still be allowed to eat it. The shechita of the mother will be matzah. And therefore, why do you need that? Val libi de Reb Shimon. You would need that. This braisa that we just quoted would be according to Reb Shimon. The Amar Reb Shimon, kolot ben para also. Reb Shimon says that normally, a kolot, an animal born without split hooves, that was born from a para, will be osir. Now, normally we have a concept, kol ha-yotzei min ha-tahor tahor, that whatever comes out of a tahor animal is going to be tahor. Reb Shimon, though, the Gemara explains in Bechoras, and actually brings it over here, that since Reb Shimon says you have an extra word in the pasuk gomel, it mentions over there that the gomel is not kosher, and it says twice the word gomel, so therefore Reb Shimon says one of them teaches us a regular gomel, that's born from a gomel, is trace, and the other one is teaching us that if you have a gomel-like creature that was born from a para, namely the mother was a para and the father was a para, but this one is like a gomel and not having a split hoof, then it's also trace. Reb Shimon will say that. However, even Reb Shimon will agree that when it was still inside the mother at the time of the shechita, it'll be mutter. He will say, Hani mili hecha de yotza la'avra olam, only if it was born and came out into the world, then it will be osir. Because of the twice gomel. Avo b'me'e ima ishari. But Reb Shimon will say, it's mutter if it was still inside the mother's womb, and therefore he would say, that's what you need the parasa and prosois for.
To teach us
that the makam chasach will be mutter as long as the baby withdrew, in the normal case, not a kolot, a regular case where the baby stuck out its leg and then withdrew it. And the second one would be for a case of a kolot, right? The Chum would say, we don't need that anyway because a kolot is mutter anyway, where a kolot is considered just like a regular para. So the same rules would apply to it as usual. Because the yotzei minatar hatara. So if it's inside the womb, it's anyway mutter, as it usually would be. If it's born, it's anyway mutter b'shchita, where it's your shecht and so on, for the same reason. So therefore, they don't need this drasha. Okay, so Tosfos says that they would use the other word, the parasa or process, they'd use it for some other drasha. The Tosfos doesn't specify. They say later on in the Gemara we're going to discuss a case where you shecht an animal and you find inside it a deformed baby that looks like a bird. Then we say it's also to eat. The Tosfos discusses why don't we say that the Chachamim use the other one to teach us that. Yeah. Anyway, the point is that it's not
that
because we'll see. We'll get there later. Okay.
Anyway, the point is that, yeah, so the point is toast dispense because you don't really need a pasuk to teach us that. You would know it automatically, as we're going to say later on in the Gemara. So therefore, okay, so they don't need this drasha for that. They would use it for some other drasha. Fine. Okay. So far, so good. We don't have any contradiction on Rav. Now another opinion, Ula Omer Rabbi Yechanan, the Eiver Asme Mutter. On the other hand, Ula says in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, no, even the Eiver itself, that the baby stuck out, will be Mutter.
As opposed to Rav.
Omele Rav Yehuda La Ula, Vah Rav Shmuel Dami Tavayu Eiver Asme Oster. So Rav Yehuda says to Ula, how could you be saying that? Rav and Shmuel both say the Eiver itself is Oster, so how are you going against them? I mean, okay, you're an Amora, you're able to, but still, if Rav and Shmuel say it, where are you getting otherwise? Amalei, so Ula says, I respect them very much. Man yohiv lan after the Rav Shmuel, halavai, somebody would give us some of the dirt on the caver of Rav and of Shmuel, umalinun einin, that we would fill up our eyes with it, like we would use it like as medicine for our eyes. It's a way of saying, in other words, how, what?
Me'afra.
Me'afra the Rav Shmuel, from the dust on Rav and Shmuel's graves. And then umalinun einin, and we fill up our eyes with it. In other words, it's a way of expressing how deeply he respects Rav and Shmuel. Of course, you know, if they say it, then sure. However, el ahochi omer Rabbi Yechanan. In this case, I have a source of what I'm saying because Rabbi Yechanan says, now we have a pasuk that we mentioned at the beginning of the sugya, that meat that is trefa in the field you're not allowed to eat. And the extra word basada teaches us this concept that if meat goes out of the zone of the enclosure that it's supposed to be in this case the womb, and in the other cases it would involve kodshim or whatever, yeah. So then you're not allowed to eat it. So you have that klal that applies across the board. However, then now you have like this. In one place, the Torah tells us you have a specific thing by the chatas that if meat of the chatas is taken out of the azara and then brought back in, it remains osir. Where do we have that? And the same thing with Kodesh and Kalim, if they were taken out of Yerushalayim. Bringing them back in doesn't help. Where do we have that? Rashi explains, because we have in the story in Parshas Shmini, where they burnt one of the korbanos of the eighth day of the Miluim, and Moshe is angry at them, by Yitzchak Moshe, on a lozoni summer, and he says, why'd you burn it? He says to them, Hein lehuva as domar ala Kodesh pnima, the blood of it was not brought into the Kodesh inside, meaning that if it did, it would have made it possible, and you would have practically had to burn it, but like this, that didn't happen. The extra word pnima is also, once it says ala kodesh, automatically means pnima, because it's inside of the azar. The word pnima teaches us that he's telling them, not only the blood of this korban was not brought into the heichal, therefore it's not possible, but also the meat of this korban remained pnima, it remained on the inside the whole time. Nobody took it out of the azar. That being the case, it wasn't possible, why did you guys burn it? So we see from that, as long as if the meat of the chatas does not remain pnima the whole time, if it goes out of the azara at any point, then it remains also even if it's brought back inside. So given that we have that,
we need that to.
That's the question. Once we have a klal that says that such a thing, basada trefa, why do we need it specified by the chatas? So therefore, what it is chatas who departed Rahman Abba. So therefore, this din applies only to the chatas, because the Torah mentions it specifically. Avo komuli, but when it comes to other cases, kiven dehoder, once they're, yes, as long as they're outside of their mechitza, they're osur, but if they're brought back in, then they're mutter. So if the limb was sticking out at the time of shechita, well then at that point it's osur, sure, but if it was brought back in before, if the baby retracted it back into the womb before the shechita, then it'll be mutter. Now, the Ramban asks the question, what happened to Dover Shahoya Bachlal, the Yotam and Aklal Lamed, where we say every day in davening, Lo Lamed al Asma Yotta, El Lamed al Kal Kula Yotta, Adadabba, we should say we should learn from the Chasa to everything else. So he says two explanations. According to Rashi, he says like this. Rashi would understand like this. Given that we have a Klal already that is Osir, that we don't need, then telling us that, telling us, repeating that concept by the Chasa, it's not yosam in a klal. It's not being taken out of the klal. You could say it's sort of reinforcing the klal. So therefore, what it is we're learning from it. Therefore, that yeah, what we're saying is
still relevant to the klal. In other words,
it's repeating the klal. It's repeating that that the din will be altered.
Right.
So therefore, what it means is that it means this concept that if chazra it'll be altered applies only to it, not to everything else. We wouldn't say we learned to everything else. The Ramban himself says a different explanation. He says that what it is we would say lo lamed alas miyasa. Therefore, it's malamed on the klal, meaning this rule applies to all kodshim. It will not apply to chulin. Here we're dealing with chulin. Therefore, it won't apply. Loyla lamed al atzma yasa. The chatas is not just teaching about itself. Ela lamed al klal. But what is the klal kulay? Not meat in general, but meat of kodshim. So therefore, yeah, the same rule would
have...
Hoya b'chlal, that you had it was part of the general rule. We yasa ben klal lamed, and then it was taken out of the klal and teaches us a new rule. Loyla lamed al atzma yasa. It doesn't just teach about itself. Ela lamed al klal kulay yasa. So the klal, in this case, would be all kodshim. It doesn't just apply to chatas. It applies also to other kodshim that were taken out of the Azara. It applies to other kodshim kalim that were taken out of Yerushalayim. It's kodshim only. Kulim not. So that's what Rabbi Yechanan is saying. So anything else, as long as it was brought back in, that would be mutter. Maybe the Gemara says, I have a contradiction on this explanation, on this opinion. A braisa says, when it says, "Basa basada trefa loytechelu ma talmud loyma," what are we learning from those words, "Basa basada trefa loytechelu"? Particularly, what are we learning from the word basada? So like this, Lafisha Matsina with Maisa Sheni or Bikurim, we find when it comes to Maisa Sheni and Bikurim, both of which are supposed to be eaten in Yerushalayim, Sha'afa Fisha Yotzu Chutzim Chitzatim V'Chazru, even if they were taken out of the zone that they're supposed to be in, as long as they were brought back in, then Mutarin, then their mother, Yochol Ach Zekain, so you would think the same thing should apply to an unborn baby. You would think, especially because Tosfos points out that the pasuk where we learn that Ma'aser Sheni and Bikurim cannot be eaten outside Yerushalayim, that pasuk mentions a few other things. It refers to many different types of korbanos. So you would think maybe the same rule would apply to not just to korbanos, but to other things as well. So you would think maybe it applies to the case of the unborn baby. Therefore, no, the pasuk tells you not like that by saying the word trefa. That's the bright. One second. So the question is, my Talmud, how are you getting from the word trefa that it applies only to my sheni and bikurim, but not to an unborn animal? What it means is the Torah is telling us by using the word trefa that the baby, when it stuck out its hand, when it stuck out its arm, is like that limb is like a trefa in the sense ma trefa kiven shenitra for shurein laeter. Just like we know the general rule we established in the previous parak that one of the part of the definition of trefa is that once an animal becomes trefa, there's no way of being master it. There's nothing that can be done to heal it or whatever that will be valid and make it ois trefa. The same thing, when the meat was taken out of the mechitza, then there's no hetcher for it anymore. So therefore, in other words, this braita is telling us that that does not only apply to chatas and other kodshim. It also applies to trefas. It doesn't apply to maaser sheni and bikurim. Maaser sheni and bikurim, if they were taken out of Yerushalayim and brought back in, then there's still mutati. So therefore, since it mentions bosser, so therefore it doesn't apply. To Ma'aser Sheni and Bikurim. So therefore, Tufta de Ola. So that's a contradiction on Ola. He's saying the limb itself is mutter, and here the Braisa is telling us even if it was brought back in, it's also Tufta. You're right. It's a contradiction. Okay. Now let's just go back and explain the details.
Once it's straight, right? And he says no.
Well, it's not that he said no. I mean, but he would have said that it's kosher once. He would have said it's mutter once it's brought back in, right? The bride says
no.
Well, okay, fine. Okay. All right. So let's see a detail in the bride for a second. We said lafisha matzini b'maaser sheni u'bikurim. We find by maaser sheni and bikurim that if they were taken out of Yerushalayim, as long as they were brought back in, you're allowed to eat them. Heichan matzini. Where exactly do we find such a thing? So like this, because you have a pasuk that says, it says you're not allowed to eat in your gates, meaning in the other cities of Eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to eat your meister and your bechorim and various other things that I mentioned in the pesukim. So therefore, implying, you're not allowed to eat them in your gates, meaning anywhere outside of Yerushalayim. But if they were taken out of Yerushalayim, out to your gates, as long as they were brought back in, mutarin, then they're still mutar. So that's why we thought that since that pasuk also meant, besides Masa Gan Chaturosh Chavit Tarecha, also continues saying Uvchorus B'Korcha B'Tenecha, B'Chorim of animals, Undorecha, V'Nidvaisecha, which are various kinds of Chatois, Hashamois, Shlomim, etc. So you would think the same rule applies to all of them, and therefore, note, we're being told that except for that That rule applies only to Meister, and Bikurim. Everything else, if it's taken out of Yerushalayim or taken out of whatever zone it's supposed to be in, then it's possible. So therefore, again, that's what the Braita said, and that's how we contradicted all of that.
But the pasuk doesn't say Master the Bikurim. It does.
It says Meister Begon Chatsir Yerushalayim Yitzarach. So,
Okay, so everything else.
Okay. All right, so all of that is one version of the machlokes between Rav and Rav Yechanan. We had, according to this first version that we've been discussing, Rav would say that the limb that was stuck out is also to eat, and Rav Yechanan would say as long as it was brought back inside before the shechita, then it would be mutter, and we shlug that up. Okay. But my Rav Masnu
Hoch. I don't understand why Rav said that.
Well, he said because he said, and then we found a braisa that contradicted him. And that happens all the time in Shas. Again, you have to remember the Amoraim were expected to know all the Mishnayos, and maybe they were expected to know like the major braisas, like from Teras Koyanim or whatever. They're not expected to know every braisa out there. So you could have that they say something, and later on we find a braisa. You know, the Gemara wrote it down for us, so we know it. But the Bnei Yeshiva brought in that braisa, and therefore it contradicts them. Fine. In Eretz Yisrael, they learned this machloikas differently, of Rav and Rav Yechanan. They learned, Rav Amar Yesh Leida La'Ivarim, Rav Yechanan Amar Ein Leida La'Ivarim. They learned that the Lashon is, Rav had said that there's no Leida, it's not considered birth as far as individual Ivarim.
When they stick it out.
When they stick it out, it's not considered a birth.
Right.
It is considered rather yesh leidah leivarim. Rabbi Yechanan Amar ein leidah leivarim. Whereas Rabbi Yechanan would say that there's no that it's not considered leidah, and therefore putting it back in and therefore bringing it back in helps. Again, Rav would say this is according to Rashi. We'll talk in a second. There's a couple of different explanations, but first Rashi. If we say yesh leidah leivarim, that amounts to the same thing as we said before in Rav's opinion, that because the limb that stuck out is considered as if it's already born, and the same thing as once the baby sticks out its head, even if it puts it back in, there's no question, it's considered already born, and it won't become mutter with its mother's shechita. So therefore, Rav would say the same thing as far as the individual limb. It's considered born already, and therefore it's too late. You can't be mutter with the shechita. Whereas Rav Yechanan would say, ein leidah leivarim, it's not considered that individual limb has been born, and therefore it can be mutter if it's put back in. So the question is, my benayu. So okay, in that case, what's the actual nafkamina between the two different versions? It sounds like the first version and the second version are basically saying the same thing, just in different words. The answer is, it could be nice. Lemei some miut eivah shebefnim. The nafkamina between them would be, what if you have a minority of one individual eivah that remained inside? Let's say, for example, the baby stuck out its leg. So let's say it stuck out most of its leg. It stuck out more than 50% of its leg. The rest of it is still inside the womb. If we say that it's a question of was there leida or not, so the same way as we say when an animal baby or a human baby comes out of the womb, normally we say it comes out head first or face first or whatever, and once that happens, it's considered born. But you can also have, for example, a breech birth where it comes out in a different direction, comes out feet first, for example, and then the din is once the majority of it is born, it's considered born, even if the head hasn't exited the womb yet. So therefore, if we take the view that we're dealing with the question, is there leida as far as individual eivarim, then we would say once the majority of the eivah came out, then it's considered. That whole, we would say, yesh leida leivarim, Rav would say, the entire eivah is considered that it's born, and therefore, because the majority of it, and therefore not only the part that stuck out in the ulcer, but also that entire eivah, so the entire leg in our scenario. On the other hand, according to Rav Yechanan, in the second version, we would say, since ein leida leivarim, then nothing of it would be ulcer. Whereas according to the first version, even Rav wouldn't be saying the whole Eivah is osher. He'd just be saying the part that stuck out is Basar Shiyasa Chutzlam Chitzasa, and it doesn't become mutter by bringing it back in. And Rabbi Yechanan would say, so in other words, it comes out, according to Rashi's explanation, the two versions of Rabbi Yechanan, there's no real difference. The difference would be, according to Rav, would we say if the majority of the Eivah came out, that the entire Eivah is osher, or only the part that came out? The second version would say the entire Eivah, the first version would say only the majority of it. Fine, but in this case, that's the question. If we say yesh leidah leivarim or not, or again, is it a matter of leidah or not? In the first version, Rav wasn't talking about leidah. In the first version, all Rav said was the Eivah asmei osher. So fine, most of that Aver came out. Nevertheless, though, we still would say that whatever remained inside is not Bosso Shiyasa Chutzlum Kitzase. Whatever came out is Bosso Shiyasa Chutzlum Kitzase. So you would divide it right there. Whereas in the second version, we would say late, once we start talking about later, is it considered born? Yeah, once you're dealing with birth, then you have to deal with the issue of Rubik or Kulay. Okay, that's the point of Rashi. Many of the other Rishonim disagreed with Rashi's explanation for a number of reasons. One of them being that usually when the Gemara brings two Lashonis and the expression isn't my benayhu, what's the argument between them? Usually the expression in the Gemara would be my ikka ben lishna kamal lishna basra. What is the difference between the first and the second? My benayhu sounds more like we're asking what's the argument between Rav and Rabbi. So you have many of the Rishonim rather take the Rif's understanding of the machlok that's over here, that it's like this. So you have the first version, which is whether that Rav would say the whole thing is aser, not the whole thing, whatever part was stuck out is aser, and Rabbi Yechanan would say that whatever would say the whole thing, as long as it was brought back in, would be mutter. Okay, so the Rif understands as follows. The machlokas would be like this. If you have, again, the question wouldn't be, everybody would agree that the part that came out is also says the Rif. In this second version, both Rav and Rabbi Yechanan would agree the part that came out is also. The machlokas would be about the part that remained inside. So Rav would say the entire thing is also, because Rubik is Kulay, so therefore once most of it came out, then it's considered the whole thing came out. Rabbi Yechanan says, Ein Leida Leibarim, it's not a matter of Leida, therefore only the part that came out is also, even if it was brought back in, and the rest of it would be Mutter.
According to Rashi?
According to Rashi, again, Rabbi Yechanan would hold in both versions that the entire Aver is Mutter. According to the Rif, in the second version, Rabbi Yechanan agrees that the part that stuck out is also. He's just saying the rest that remained, the meal that stayed inside, would be mutter. Whereas Rav would say that the whole thing, either what stuck out and the meal that remained inside, would be also. And then the question would be, my benayhu, the point would be, in that case, what would be the nafkamina between Rav and Rabbi Yechanan? Second version, and that the answer is about miut eva shebifnim. That Rav would say the miut eva shebifnim is also, and Rabbi Yechanan would say it's mutter. Okay, you have a couple of other variations that Rishonim talk about. You know, the Magid Mishnah talks about. The Rambam may have yet another shit on what's going on over here. But in particular, according to this, that many of the Rishonim accept the Rif's understanding. So according to Rashi's understanding, given that there's no real difference between the first Lashon and the second Lashon, so since we slugged up Rabbi Yechanan in the first Lashon, so he's slugged up in the second Lashon also, and therefore the halacha has to be like that. According to the Rif's understanding, these are separate machloikasin, and therefore in the second one we have the usual rule that when you have a machloikas Rav and Rabbi Yechanan, the halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan. Therefore, in this particular case, the halacha would be like Rabbi Yechanan. So we would say, therefore, the part that no, Rashi would not agree. Rashi would say the halacha is like Rav. So therefore, according to the first version, only what stuck out would be also. And according to the second version, the whole thing, including what's inside, would be also.
One second. Why would Rashi say it's like
because Rashi that? Would say, once we slugged up Rabbi Yechanan the first time, then automatically that includes the second time also, because in the second version, Rabbi Yechanan is also saying the whole Aver is Mutter. And we slugged that up already. The part that went out is definitely also. So according to the Rif's version, you would say that the part that stuck out, everybody agrees, is Osir. The argument is about the miut of the Aver that stayed inside. Rav will say is Osir, Rabbi Yechanan will say is Mutter. And in that, the halacha would be like Rabbi Yechanan. Okay.
So it has the
impact, yeah, whether we understand, like Rashi or the Rif has a major impact in halacha.
Sure.
Okay. All right. So now we have a question like this. L'divrei ha'omer ein leidol ha'ivarim. According to the opinion, we just said that according to Rabbi Yechanan, Ein Leida La'Ivarim, an individual Aver coming out is not considered a birth. So therefore, according to Rashi, we said Rabbi Yechanan would say nothing happens as long as it put it back in before the Shechita, then the whole thing is Mutter. And according to the Rif, we would say that we don't say Rubik's Kulay in that case. We would say only the part that stuck out is also the part that remained inside, the meal that stayed inside is Mutter. The question would be, according to that opinion, how about like, suppose that the baby stuck out one foreleg and then brought it back in. Then it stuck out its other foreleg and brought it back in. Then it did the same thing with another part of its body. and so on and so forth. Ad she shlimo the roof. Put it, but yeah, it was doing the hokey pokey basically. So yeah, in and out. So it's putting out an individual Ava and putting it back in, and then another Ava and putting it back in, until by the time you count in total the amount of the baby that was outside of the womb at any one time, it comes out to root. Mahu. So then
it was not the root of the Ava itself.
One time.
No. Again. If you have it all together added up to the roiv of the animal, of necessity, it has to be the roiv of some of Yodim as well. Fine, but the point is, in other words, so you have, you know, I don't know if we're talking about roiv, let's say, by weight. Let's to keep things simple, let's say we're talking about roiv by weight. So the baby animal weighs, I don't know, 100 pounds, let's say. So you have it stuck out its foreleg, which weighs 5 pounds, and then later on it stuck out its tail, which weighs 2 pounds, and then another time it stuck out its shedra, which weighs 10 pounds, and so on and so forth. And by the time you count up all the parts that went out, and then we'll work back in, you have 51 pounds. That's right. Mahu, what would be the din? Would that baby be mutter? Would that baby at that point still be mutter with the mother's shita? Whatever part, again, according to Rav, there's no question. Whatever parts were taken out are already also anyway. But according to Rav Yochanan, again, the first version, again, according to the second version of Rav Yochanan, that ein leider la'ivarim, which again, according to Rashi, the ivarim themselves that were stuck out will actually be mutter, according to Rav Yochanan, because they were brought back in. And according to everybody, because there's no later, and according to the Rif, it means that, fine, the parts that were stuck out will be also, but the remaining parts that remained inside will remain mutter. So are they mutter still with the mother's, are they mutter with the mother's shrika? Do we say, miyamin and hanafak le'ruba? Do we say, after all, in the end, most of the baby came out at one time or another, therefore it's not mutter with the mother's shrika anymore? Or you could say once it was brought back in, and therefore it's not considered a later until most of it comes out at once. This is another one of the reasons why a number of the Rishonim say why we have to say in the second version the halacha has to be like Rabbi Yochanan, because otherwise why is the Gemara bothering to ask the question according to Rabbi Yochanan if the halacha, according to Rashi, the halacha not like Rabbi Yochanan in the second version anyway, why are we bothering to ask according to him? Okay, the Magen Mishnah, the Rambam actually brings a different girsa that maybe the question is within the opinion of Rav Yeshle de Leivarim, but okay, anyway. In Timsaloy, now you might answer like this. You might think to say, given the hoder, you could argue that once it brought it back in, it's considered brought back in, so therefore it will still be mutter with the mother's shrita, as if it never went out. So okay, again, according to the Rif and everybody else, it would mean the parts that stuck out themselves will be alter, but nothing else. Okay, but now we can ask another case. Suppose that the baby stuck out its foreleg and you chopped it off. Because of a hoitias yod, then it stuck out its other foreleg, and you chopped it off. Add she shlim in the rubai, and eventually you have the chopped off pieces add up to roi before the baby as a whole was born.
Before
it even came out, right. So now, mahu, now what's the deal? Mia min and honophically rubber, do we say after all most of it came out, so therefore the part that's still inside cannot be mutter with the mother's shritter? Maybe you need roi to come out all at once. And actually, Rashi says this part, this last question would be a question even according to Rav, who says yesh leida la'ivarim. The question is, do we say yesh leida la'ivarim that it counts even if the Ava is no longer attached to the baby anymore or not?
Now, the fact that it would bleed to death.
Well, because again, it's inside the mother. So if we say that it's mutter with the mother's shchita, then fine. At that point, you'll shech the mother and the baby that you find in there will be running. Okay. So Toshma, Zeh HaKlal. That's what we're gonna ask. So come, let's look at our Mishnah. We said at the end of our Mishnah. So we had an our Mishnah as follows. We said that if the baby stuck out its arm and then put it back in, we said mutter b'achila, and that was the whole discussion whether it means the arm is mutter b'achila or not. On the other hand, we said two more cases in the Mishnah. If you cut off, while the baby was still in the womb, you cut off pieces of it and left them inside until after you shechted the mother, those pieces that were detached from the baby will be mutter with the mother's shechita. And this also answers your question, because again, even though they're detached from the baby, they don't need to have their own chayus, they're still considered part of the mother. On the other hand, we said, if you cut off part of the mother's body itself, for example, the spleen or the kidneys, even though those don't necessarily make the mother trace, but those pieces will be also as Eva Menachai. And the Mishnah finished off, Zeh HaKlal, the general rule is, Dover should gufa also, anything that's of her guf is also, v'she'ein a gufa mutter, anything that's not her guf is mutter. So, When we say dove necklace baby, is not considered, it's not, in a way it is, but in a way it's not. The fact of the matter is, it's a separate guf. So she'ein gufa l'asur yamai. Now, when the Mishnah is saying zeh haklal, usually it means that the Mishnah is coming to tell us something else, another din that we wouldn't have known from what it said explicitly in the Mishnah. So what is the zeh haklal? What is the she'ein gufa l'asur yamai? What is it coming to include? My lav l'asur yikai agav. Now, l'chora is coming to include this kind of case, where you have a miut of the uber is inside, the majority of it is already outside, has been chopped off, and nevertheless, the Mishnah still seems to be implying that it's mutter. The answer is like, not necessarily is that what the Mishnah is.
What was the question?
Again, we have the case where the baby stuck out one limb and you chopped it off, another limb and you chopped it off, etc. Eventually, you have roiv over there, but it didn't come out. Roiv didn't come out all at once. The question is the miut that's still in there, mutter? Roiv of the baby, yeah. No, roiv of the baby as a whole. Roiv of the baby as a whole.
Like cutting a leg, you wouldn't have roiv of a baby.
Just not, no, that's what we said. The leg, first one leg, then the other leg, then the spine, okay. Then, yeah, whatever, yeah. Okay. So in that case, if we assume that the Mishnah Zahakwal is coming to include that case, then there's our answer. Even though only a miut of the baby is left inside, it's not considered born yet, and therefore it's mutter with the mother's shita.
And maybe we should do that. I don't know.
Could be. Yeah, maybe we should. Maybe we should drone out there. Yeah, you're right. I didn't realize originally that they were going to come and do this. Just pause for 15 seconds. Another. Oh well, actually, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Okay. People. Okay, so again, so we were saying that on the face of it, from our Mishnah, we can prove that this case would be mutter. The answer is right. Not necessarily is that what you can learn from the klal in the Mishnah. Lastly, a kolot from a part of our libidit of Shimon. Again, you could say that our Mishnah wants to tell us the case where you find a kolot, you find a baby with unsplit hooves inside the womb of a para, where Rav Shimon would say that once it was born, then it's osir, but he would agree that once that while it's in the womb, it's mutter. Maybe that's what our Mishnah is coming to be adding with the zaklal. Again, validated of Shimon. So therefore, we could say that part of our Mishnah is going like Rav Shimon.
What's the full take on Zachal?
Zachal, the Mishnah said, the general rule is anything that is part of the goof of the mother is Osir, and anything that's not part of the goof of the mother is Mutter. So Rav Shimon would say that the unborn baby, which is a kolot, the Rav Shimon would say, because it's unborn, because it's still inside the mother, but it's not actually part of her, therefore it would be Mutter, as opposed to once it had been born, where Rav Shimon would say, because of the twice gomel, that it's Osir. So, again, even though Rav Shimon holds that a kolot that was born from a para is osir, it itself is a trefa animal because it's considered like a camel. Kolot means an animal that doesn't have split hooves. It was born deformed, and instead of having two hooves on each foot, it has one. Hani mili, but again, Rav Shimon would say that only applies hecha deyotzel avra olam, only when it actually came out into the world. Album may shari, but when it's inside the womb still, then it's mutter. And so, well, that's the point. In other words, that would be what our Mishnah is adding, maybe by saying zehakwal, whatever is she'ena gufa is mutter. Rav Shimon would say that's talking about kolot shenim to be
meikara. In other words, this would be born. She would shech the mother, and this uber would be inside, then the uber would be mutter.
Then even Rav Shimon would agree that it's mutter. The Chachamim would say it's mutter either way. The Chachamim would say it's mutter either way. If it's inside the mother, it's mutter. The mother's shechita, and if it's born, you can shecht it on its own. Rav Shimon would say, once it's born, it's osir. You can't shecht it.
Even if it was inside when it was shechted.
No, again, if it was inside when it was shechted, no. If it was born before the shechita, then that's where Rav Shimon and the Chama argue. If it was born before the shechita, Rav Shimon would say it's also the Chama would say it's mutter. If it's inside the womb, at the time of the shechita, everybody would agree it's mutter. So that's when the zehakwal of our Mishnah might be only according to Rav Shimon. The Chachamim wouldn't say that you need to add that. You need to have that zehakwal, yeah. Okay, so no proof, therefore, for this last case. So the result is, the halacha is, in general, we say that when the Gemara asks a question and says, an intim tolaimar, then we go according to that. So since the Gemara asked two questions over here, and they were tied together with intim tolaimar, so it comes out, the answer to the first question the answer to the first question, where again, where you had each time it stuck out a limb and then put it back in, and stuck out another one and put it back in, we would say that kiven de hoder. Hoder, what was brought back in is brought back in. Again, if we say the halacha is like the second version of revision, then it would mean the parts that actually stuck out are also, the remaining parts that never went out would remain mutter, even the remaining parts of the individual limb. Even if it put out really, that's the first question that we had here. On the other hand, the second question, where you chopped off each one and you have a pile of them afterwards, then would the rest of the baby be mutter by the shechita of the mother? That remains a suffix, because the Gemara hasn't answered it, and therefore that would be so. Therefore, the baby in that case would be also a suffix. Fine. Boy of Hananya. Okay, so now Rav Hananya asks the question like this. Now, we've been talking about this whole time that the issue with the baby sticking out its leg, why does that leg become also? Because it went chutzlem chitzote, it went outside of the mechitza, of the defined area where it's supposed to be. In this case, the defined area is the womb. Now, we also said that we have this issue of a vasa basada trefa comes up also in connection with kodshim. That kodshim that were taken outside of their respective mechitza become also. So meat of a chatas that was taken outside the azara, meat of a shlomim that was taken outside Yerushalayim. So Rav Hananya asks like this, hoisi over es yodei ba'azara mahu. What happens, suppose you bring an animal, a shlomim, to the azara. A shlomim can be a female animal. And a shlomim can be a female animal, so it can be pregnant. So it can happen that you brought the mother to the azara, and the baby stuck out its arm in the azara. At mahu, what would be the din? Would be say like this. Normally, we would say, as we've been saying, that the leg is also, because it's chutzlem chitzase. But in this case, you have a mechitza. The azara is its mechitza, because that's where it's supposed to be shachted. So therefore, maybe that mechitza, so to speak, like overrides the other mechitza. So therefore, it doesn't matter that it's chutzlem chitzase of the mother. The fact that it's chutzlem, the fact that it's inside, it's mechitza of being inside the azara. Maybe that's good enough.
So basically, he's asking, what's the real mechitza? Is it the azara or is it the mother?
Yes, that's the question. Mahu, so what would be the din? Migoy dehavi mechitza lagabe kodshim, havi nami lagabe dehai. Would we say that since the walls of the azara are considered mechitza, as far as that's where you can check the mother, because you can only check the mother inside the azara, like any kodshim, so maybe also it serves as a mechitza for the baby as well, and therefore that leg of the baby would be mutter to eat. Here, maybe relative to the question of the uber, it's not considered a mechitza, because there you have to have the uber has to be inside the mother.
Why don't we say there's two mechitzas?
Well, that's the question. That's the question. That's the question, basically. Relative to the uber, are we saying that there's only one mechitza, the mother, or are we saying that the mechitza that's good for the mother is also good for it? Amalei Abaya, the Abaya says to Rav Hananya, the kiboylach kodshim kalim b'Yerushalayim. Why are you davka asking that case? You might as well ask the case of kodshim kalim in Yerushalayim. Meaning, let's say, for example, you had a mother animal, a shlomim. Suppose it wasn't brought to the azara yet. Suppose someplace in Yerushalayim, the baby stuck out its arm, then put it back in. Then they brought it to the azara, and then they shechted it. So now, again, if we said before that Rav had said yesh leidol evarim, that each individual aver that comes out is considered as if it's born already. So then you would say that, so you could ask the same question, but the fact of the matter is it was inside your Yerushalayim, and the walls of your Yerushalayim are where ultimately it's going to be eaten. It's kodshim kalim after all, they're eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. Or maybe not. Maybe you would say that not. So why are you asking dafka the case where it's inside the azara? You could be asking the case where it stuck it out and then put it back inside Yerushalayim.
Kodshim versus kalim.
No, they're both talking about kodshim kalim. They're both talking about kodshim kalim, and in fact they're both talking about shlomim. So Abaya is saying to the Hananya, evidently you understand that it has to be inside the mechitza that where it has to be shechted. But who says maybe it's good enough for it to be inside? Maybe you might as well ask a different question. Maybe it's good enough for it to be inside the mechitza where it's eventually going to be eaten,
which is your
shlomim. Yeah. The Maharam had the Maharam and in the back of the Gemara and a number of the other Achronim have a lot of detail about why Rashi has to mention the point that it brought back in the limb. Lachoda, wouldn't it be the same thing if the limb was still sticking out when they brought it to the Azara? So okay, there's a Balabatisha answer. There's a Balabatisha answer that the Maharsha says that, look, with a thing sticking out of its womb, it's not going to be able to walk to the Azara to be able to be shechted over there. But okay, the Maharam has a much longer and more elaborate explanation why Rashi would say that way, because if it was still sticking out, then it would amount to just a variation of Rav Hanania's question, and Abaye wants to point out that you could have asked a whole different question.
But the Shechita has to be in the Azara.
The Shechita obviously has to be in the Azara, sure.
So why?
Because you could argue maybe that if the whole problem is that it stuck out its arm, but that was in Yerushalayim, so it's still within Mechitzis, where eventually it's going to be eaten, you're only asking about the question, is the mother's Shechita being matched, or this baby to be eaten? Where is it going to be eaten? In Yerushalayim. The baby itself is not a carbon. You're not going to be offering anything of the baby in the Azara. So maybe therefore, yeah, so this, yeah. So Abaye is saying to Rav Hanani, you might as well ask that question. So why aren't you asking that? Kodshim Kalim Yerushalayim, my time aloy kama boyaloch. So why indeed are you not asking about Kodshim Kalim in Yerushalayim? Because the mechitzas uber imayhu. Obviously, you understand that when it comes to within Yerushalayim, the only mechitza that's relevant as far as this baby is its mother's mechitza. Not the walls of Yerushalayim are not relevant as far as the din of this baby. Well, then the same thing. Hachanami mechitzas uber imayhu. The same thing would apply in the Azara. There's no reason that you should think that the walls of the Azara would be any more of a valid mechitza for it than the walls of Yerushalayim. So therefore, the answer to your question would be the answer to your question, and the answer to my question that I'm saying you could have just as well asked is the only mechitza that's relevant is the mechitza of the mother's womb. Whatever's in there is mutter. Whatever's not in there, whatever was outside of there at any time is also.
And that's because you could ask the question about...
Because since you could have asked the question about Yerushalayim as a whole, and you understood that you shouldn't ask about Yerushalayim as a whole, because you understand the mechitzas of Yerushalayim are not relevant for the baby, then the mechitzas of the Azara are not relevant for the baby either. Because the fact of the matter is, you need it to be inside the mechitza of its mother. The mother herself, sure, has to be inside the Azara, because you can't shecht anywhere outside the Azara. But the baby is within a mechitza of that, and that's the mechitza that's relevant.
People
okay.
have mechitza, yeah. And animals have
mechitza. Yeah. Okay.
So are you saying that, one second, that...
We're saying that in order for this baby to be mutter with the mother's shechita, the baby itself not being a korban, it has to be within
the
its mechitza.
It
has to be within its mechitza, which in this case is the womb of the mother. The fact that you have another mechitza over there, the walls of the Azara, where you're able to shech the mother, or the walls of Yerushalayim, where you're able to eat the mother and the baby, for that matter, doesn't change anything. Yeah.
If half of the animal is in the Azara and half is outside.
So we learned in Zvachim, actually, that if any part of the animal is outside the Azara, then the Shechita is possible. The entire animal has to be inside the Azara. In fact, yes, now that you mention it, there are some of the Achronim talk about that maybe that could be this, maybe that could be also part of the scenario over here when we're talking about Hoitzi Obers Yode Ba'Azara. Do we mean maybe that the leg the leg is sticking out of the Azara, and the question is, would that affect the Shechita of the mother? But
the,
you could, maybe it's possible.
Possible.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay. Boy Ilfa. Okay, now Ilfa asks another question, which actually we had earlier in the Masechta. Hoitzi Obers Yode Bein Simon L'Simon Mahu. What would happen? Now remember, we learned that before, that you have to shech both simonim and an animal, or roiv both simonim, for it to be a kosher shechita. So suppose that you shechted the first simon of the mother, then the baby stuck out its arm, and then you shechted the second simon of the mother. So now you have like this. The first simon, what is it accomplishing? The first simon, which took place, which was shechted while this Ava was inside, would have made this Ava mutter to eat. The second simon, arguably is making it mutter only to make it that it's no longer nevela, because we said before, maga trefa shchuta, that the piece, that the part that came out is considered, after when you shecht the mother, it's considered like a trefa and only has the dinim of tumma of a trefa. So now the question is, mim etzadav simen rishon l'simen sheni l'tayre b'dei nevela oloi. In this case, then, relative to that limb, the two simonim, the shchita of the two simonim, are accomplishing two different things. So can they combine together to make it that this limb doesn't have tumas nevela?
There's no shchita unless it's two simonim.
Right, but that's the point. In other words, again, you did the shchita. One second. Hold on. You did the shchita of one simon. If everything had continued like that, nothing was stuck out, everything of that uber would have been mutter to eat. Now that it stuck it out, if it stuck it out before any simonim, then we know that part would be considered trefa shchuta. So No, not Nevela. Not Nevela. It's Treva Shota. That's the point. We had Rameya and the Chachamim.
Right.
So the question is, now when you have, effectively, therefore, you could say the first siman is accomplishing that you're allowed to eat it. The second one is accomplishing that it won't be Tumas Nevela. So now, if they're accomplishing two different things, can they combine together to take away the Tumas Nevela or not? So would we say, after all, after the second siman, that this limb that's sticking out has Tumas Nevela or not? Would we say that there was a valid shechita relative to it?
If you do shecht, if it's stuck its leg
between the first siman and the second siman.
First one would be...
The first one, if everything had gone well, if nothing else had changed after the first one, he would have shechted the second one and it would have been mutter to eat. Like this, something changed. Remember. If the leg was stuck out before the shechita began, then we know that it's terei for shechita. It's not Tumas Nevela, but it's terei for shechita. If it stuck it out only after both simonim are shechted, then the whole thing is mutter to eat. So now when you have one simon in one status and the other simon in the other status, now can we say that it takes away Tumas Nevela and gives it the status of terei for shechita or not? Maybe the two of them don't combine together. Effectively, relative to this limb, you don't have a valid shechita at all, therefore it would be Nevela.
Which one? Or
well, Nevela is definitely, Nevela is Tumah Deraisa. Trefa is only Tumah Derabanan and only as far as Kodshim. So that's the question. Omar Rava Kabel Chaymer. So Rava says you should be able to make a Kabel Chaymer. Im Hoyoloi Simen Rishon LeSimen Sheni LaTudeb Achila. Listen, I mean, the first simen combines with the second simen to make the animal as a whole mutter to eat. You don't say, for example, that the first siman was shechted and then now you don't combine together the siman, the second siman with it. Obviously, you do, and the animal is no longer nevela. So in that case, latir b'achila, even to the extent of being master, the mother animal and the baby as a whole to be mutter to eat, lo yoyla latayim de nevela, shouldn't it be effective as being matahar that limb from Tumas Nevela? And that's in fact the halacha, it does.
Okay. So less than two simanim.
So therefore, so if it stuck it out between the first and the second simon, it'll be the same din as if it stuck it out before the first simon. The limb itself will be osir, but it'll only be terei for shchuta. It will not have too much nevela.
Because you need two simonim.
Because the fact is, you have two simonim, and the two simonim do combine together. Okay. Next, boy Rabbi Yirmiyah, mahu lochush lezarei. Next, Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, do we have to be concerned about the offspring of this animal? So he says, "Hechi dami." What's the scenario? What is Rabbi Yirmiyah asking? The pashtus, when we say the offspring of it, what we mean is, in other words, so you have an animal like this. You have the baby. Remember, is called a ben pekua. We're going to use that. We're going to use that expression many times in Or Masechta. And pekua basically means torn open, because that's what it is. Usually, you shech the mother. You find the baby inside. It usually doesn't come out the natural way. You usually have to tear open the mother's womb, and then you take the baby out. That's ben pekua. So that's, you have the basic concept that ben pekua is mutter with the mother's shechita, although we're going to see now, and we're going to see in more detail later in the parak, that Rav Meir disagrees with that concept. But anyway, so the question about zaroi is, so if you have this baby, that it stuck out its leg, whether it put it back in or not doesn't matter for our purposes. Either way, we establish the leg is ulcer. Then you shechted the mother. We said the rest of the baby would be mutter. Now, in principle, it's not just that it's mutter if you were to eat it right then and there. You could even leave that baby to grow up. In a normal case, so forgetting for a second about the case where it's stuck out a leg. A normal case, you shech a mother, you find a live baby inside there, you're allowed to raise that animal to maturity, and it never needs shechita. It retains its status as ben pekua. Later on in the parak, we're going to talk about conceivably even could you have a whole herd of such animals. But anyway, the point is that so now like this, you have this ben pekua. If it now later on mates with a female animal, do we say that the baby inherits its status basically? Well, in this particular case, the question really is, it stuck out its leg. We said that leg is ulcer. Does its offspring inherit that status of having that leg be ulcer?
Offspring later on, the same leg, the right leg.
The
father wasn't the
father. Yeah, that's the point. That's what we're going to ask. That's the question we're going to ask. But that's, we have to figure out the exact question that Rabbi Yirmiyah is asking. Rabbi Yirmiyah just said we have to be choshesh lazaroi. The Gemara has to teach out to figure out what Rabbi Yirmiyah was asking.
So one leg.
So let's say, for example, so you have the baby animal stuck out one leg. So let's say it's front right leg, let's say, yeah.
Now, later on, it grew up. You shechted with the mother. Its father is a baby with another female animal. Does that baby inherit the status that right front leg is also? Well, that's what we have to figure out. Is that the question?
And all the rest of the ostrich be kosher without shechting.
Well, no, that's right. Okay. Hey, Chidon. So what's the scenario? Elema de ozala behema mal, yes, sir? Are you talking about that it mated with a regular, normal female animal? Then my area, hi, the ispe ispe yosa, then why are you asking, why do you have to ask specifically about this one case where you have the issue on the leg? I feel a bent core to almanami. You could ask the more general question whether if a bent core male animal mates with a female with a normal female animal, whether the baby inherits that status. Mm-hmm. Because in fact, you could ask like this. In fact, you would have a question. Maybe there would be a reason, fakir, not to say that the baby animal, maybe just not to say that the baby animal should be mutter, but adirabi, to argue that the baby animal maybe should be also.
With or without.
That's what we're going to say. Because like this. The Amr of Mashashi, because we have like this. Later on, we're going to talk about briefly in our parak, we're going to talk about it in much more detail later on in the Masechta, when we talk about, and then in the next parak, when we talk about the dinim of Oysa Ves B'nai, you have a machloikas, which goes back all the way to the Tanoim, called Choshishin L'Zera Ha'am. We know, okay, so like this. We have in the next parak, we're going to talk about the dinim of Oysa Ves B'nai, that the Torah tells us, you know, the Shech, a parent and child animal on the same day. Now, what do we mean parent and child in this case? Do we mean Dabka, the mother animal, and the child? Because we know that this child came from the mother. Maybe we say, Ein Choshishin L'Zera Ha'av. We're not concerned about the seed of the father. So in other words, the father is not at all relevant, even though biologically, of course, there had to be a father and a mother for this baby to be born. But you could shech the father animal and the child animal on the same day without it being an Isser. Or do we say, Choshishin L'Zera Ha'av, that you can't do the father and the, yeah.
I wonder if
the
question is
only
if it's a male or female.
That's the question. In other words, does Oysev Espinai apply to the mother animal on the baby, or does it apply also to the father animal on the baby? So you can't check them on the same day either.
The mother for sure.
The mother for sure. Everybody agrees to that.
The mother and the baby. Yeah.
The mother and the baby, if the baby was born normally, yeah, and then later, yeah. You can't check them both on the same day. That's Oysev Espinai. Does the same din apply to the father or not? So it's called Choshishin L'Zera Ha'av. So, Rav Masharshi is... That's what we're going to get to Zev Zegrim soon. Wait. Okay. So like this. So if we're talking about that, again, if we're talking about that this Ben Pekua with one no good leg, one leg that's also because of Yotze, if you're going to say that it mated with a female animal which is normal, not a Ben Pekua, then you actually have a question, never mind about the leg, you have a question whether the baby animal b'chlal is mututi. The Amr of Masharshia, because where Masharshia says, L'divrei ha'oimer choshishin l'zera ha'av, according to the opinion that choshishin l'zera ha'av, that we do have to be concerned about the father as well. The father's contribution is also considered to be significant as far as Oysev Espinoi and as far as other genes. Then what would come out with is Ben Pekua Habar Behema Mal Yisrael. So then what would happen is a regular Ben Pekua without a bad leg, a regular Ben Pekua that it itself is fully mutter, but if it mates with a regular animal, Habar Ein LeTakana. Rav Masharshia says, there's nothing you can do for the baby because from its father's side, again, because Choshin L'Zerav, from the father's side, it doesn't require Shechita. From the mother's side, it does. So therefore, effectively, what you have is it's as if it only has half of the simonim that it needs. It's as if each of its simonim is composed of half from the father, half from the mother, a half that doesn't require shchita, a half that does require shchita, and therefore you can't do a valid shchita on it.
Even if, let's say, doesn't hurt.
No, but it does, because then it means you have to cut through roiv of each of the simonim, and here you don't have roiv to cut through, because in effect, the other part of it is as if it doesn't exist. So if you say Ein Choshishin L'Zera Ha'av, it's no problem. You go strictly by the mother. The mother was not a Ben Pekua. The mother was a regular normal pepper. So therefore, fine. Then the baby you can check like normal. But if you say Choshishin L'Zera, so the point is, if that's Rabbi Yirmiyah's question, that he doesn't need to be asking about specifically the case where it has a bad leg. You could ask in general, even without that, you would have the question.
And if you
say Ein Choshishin L'Zera Ha'av, then the father's status is not going to go to the child anyway, so it doesn't matter. So the answer is Lloyd Tricha de Ozalab Ben Pekur de Kavaseh. Right. But the case that Rabbi Yirmiyah is asking about is suppose that this male Ben Pekur with one leg that's also mated with a female Ben Pekur. So
we don't have the answer.
Well, so one second. In the case of the question where a Ben Pekur mated with a normal animal, the answer would be it depends whether we hold Choshishin L'Zera Ha'av.
if we hold choshesh in lezera av, then the baby, there's nothing you can do for it. You can't shecht it, you can't not shecht it. And if you hold ein choshesh in lezera av, then fine. As long as the mother wasn't a ben pura, then you're good. The halacha, I believe, is ein choshesh in lezera av. But we'll get to it more in the next paragraph, Hashem. Yeah.
Can you check that?
Why? Are you going to be eating at the ben pura soon? I believe the answer is that I believe the answer is that ein choshesh in lezera av, but I don't know. I would have to look at that. Okay, you're in here, actually in here. Defying chesh on the day is fine. Let's see quickly. It's the opinion of Hananya. He's a das yachid, so probably not. But looks offhand like not. But okay, anyway. So the point is, so in this case, so you had a ben pkua that has one leg, which is osur, mated with a female ben pkua. So now the baby is definitely a ben pkua because it inherited that from both sides.
Right.
But the question is, what happens with that leg? Now, according to Rashi, doesn't specify whether the female ben pkua was a normal ben pkua or also one that has a leg that's osur. Tosfos learns we're talking about if the female ben pkua had the same thing. It had the same leg, which is also osur. So now the question becomes like this. My Aver Molad Aver, do we say that effectively each individual Aver on the parent gives rise to the equivalent Aver in the child? Therefore, in other words, the Isser on that leg of the father, and maybe of the mother as well, goes only to that leg of the baby, only that same leg. So then fine, b'chatech lei b'shori, all you need to do is chop off that leg and you're good, and the rest of it doesn't require shechita. Or maybe the seed of the zachar is mixed up, it comes from throughout the entire body, so therefore the entire vlad will be also because part of it comes from that aver, which is mutter. It comes from all over the body. You know, it comes from the strength of the entire body. So therefore, you could argue that maybe. A little later in the sugya, Tosfos asks the question: what about zevazeh godim, which you just mentioned? So whether zevazeh godim, because in other words, you would have in this case, you have according to Tosfos's explanation before, we wouldn't have zevazeh godim over here actually, because you have a father and a mother that have the exact same issue, the same leg as also. That's why Tosfos made the point of mentioning that both of them have the same problem. But a little later in the sugya, Tosfos mentioned, a few lines down, Tosfos mentions, what about zevazeh godim? The Torah Chaim answers, he says, when do you say zevazeh godim? When you have two distinct different things, that you can point to this and say, this one is mutter, this one is osur, and the two of them combined together. Here you have a body where part of the same body is osur and part of it is mutter, that wouldn't be called zevazeh godim.
You can't say the same thing we said previously, that because the mother was a regular pkua and the father wasn't, you can't say that the status will change on the baby that comes out because the mother is a healthy.
No, but hold on. Here we're talking about that both the mother and the father are ben pkua.
Right, if it would only be the father.
If it's only the father is a ben pkua and the mother not, then we said we have to worry about choshesh in lezera av. Then it depends. According to Hananya, baby was healthy. If you don't have a Hananya, then
you can't be correct. You should have to chop the leg off on it.
That's what we're saying. In other words, if we were talking about that the father was a ben pkua and the mother was not, then there'd be no question. Rabbi Yemi doesn't have a question. The answer would be, according to Hananya, the baby is also regardless, and according to choshesh in lezera av, and according to the chum, it would be mutter. Okay, but if you have both the mother and father, right, and you have this one Aver, right.
For different legs.
No, according to Tosfos, it's the same leg.
Same leg.
Yeah.
So then the question is,
is it that only that leg is also, or is it the entire thing is also because each aver of the baby comes from the entire bloodstream or whatever. Okay, the Gemara says, Hader Amar. Later on, he said, Pashas Rabbi Yemiya, maybe the Chachmei HaGemara, whatever said, Pshita the Mababal Zare. Obviously, in that case, we have to say, of course, the Zera comes from the entire body, not just that one particular organ gives rise to another particular organ. Meaning that the whole thing should be also. Di'im kein, summa yerlid summa, keteya yerlid keteya. Otherwise, you would have a blind animal would inevitably give birth to a blind baby, and a parent animal that was missing a limb would give birth to a baby that's missing the same limb. You don't see that. So therefore, obviously, the zera must come from throughout the whole body. In Chassidus, it sometimes talks about they have the idea that kirchas ha'ne'alomim and kirchas ha'gluyim. Like you have even a blind parent, they have kirchas ha'ne'alomim. They have the power of sight that doesn't manifest itself in their eyes. Therefore, they have the ability to transmit it to their children, which is similar to what the Gemara is saying over here. Okay. So then, v'hochi el pshita d'mabal bolzare. So obviously, the zera must come from throughout the animal. V'hochi kamei boyalon. But the question can still be asked as follows. You can still say, fine, it's a given that the zera comes from the entire body, but draws strength from the entire body. In that case, on the face of it, you should think the entire baby should be osur because of the one leg from the parent that's osur. However, v'hochi kamei boyalon. No, because we can still have the question like this. Look, behema ba'alma. So what do you have? A normal case of two parent animals that create a child animal. Each one of them, the zera of the father and the contribution of the mother, it involves their chelav and it involves their blood, which those themselves are also the parents, and yet that doesn't make the baby mutter. So just because you have also things that contribute to the formation of a baby doesn't mean anything.
In the case of what?
A regular mother animal and father animal, their chelav is also, their dam is also, and yet they create a baby, which is where the baby itself is mutter. You don't say that the flesh of the baby came partly by means of the chelav and dam of the father and of the mother. So therefore, you could argue over here, even though one leg of the father and maybe of the mother also is also, that shouldn't matter, shouldn't be any different than that. Maybe not. Maybe we'd only say that when you have two isurim, not when you have a third isur involved as well, namely also the leg. Now, actually, Tosus points out, you actually have an issue of Vidanosha as well, so you should be counting that as well. So that should count as a third or fourth. The reason, no, Vidanosha is their Isa. But the thing is, Vidanosha, forget that. They were talking about while the animal is alive. But the Gidanosha itself is a nerve. It doesn't have, it has chayus, obviously, but it doesn't really give out anything from it. It's ke'etz ba'alma. It itself is like wood. It doesn't really have a taste or anything, which is nagea. Later on, the seventh paragraph, when we deal with the dinim of Gidanosha, we're going to talk about that. So therefore, for example, it has implications as far as the dinim of Tarubas and many other such things. So the Torah asks it, there is a kosher, but not to the extent that we're going to say that it's going to, that we would have any reason to think that it gives something towards the vlad that should make it also. So we're left with only two.
Only two parts of the
chaylev and dam. Yeah, essentially those are the only things that are also chaylev and animal, chaylev and dam.
Huh? You're saying the gita nashi doesn't mix.
The gita nashi basically doesn't mix with everything else, right?
And when the skin alone does not, the skin from the behemoth,
you're allowed to eat the skin of a behemoth. I mean, if it's kind of hard, you wouldn't be able to eat it, but it's in principle, it's not safe. The fact is, by the way, you know, we have. Well, that's true also, but also, I mean, you can have enough from the Gita Nasha also. You can have enough from Chelev also. Yeah,
you can sell it.
I guess. But definitely Chelev, you're allowed to have enough from the Pesach Kesef Kriu. You also have Homolacha. But besides that, anyway, what I was going to say is, you know, we say as far as Sifrei Torah and Tefillin and Mezuzos that you can only use Minam Mutzer B'Ficha to make them, but we make them out of leather, right? They make them out of leather and parchment. So those themselves are considered Mutzer B'Ficha. Practically speaking, you're not able to eat them because they're too hard, but the in and of themselves, they're kosher. Yeah, okay, you know what I mean. All right. By the way, an interesting side, a little interesting historical tidbit over here. I mean, this is more negaya to when we get to Perek Yidanasha, but worth mentioning over here. In the times of Rav Yonos and Eibishitz, there was a menacher, one of these people who was responsible for removing chelev and then gidanosha and whatever from meat, who came up with the notion that this that everybody thinks is the gidanosha, the sciatic nerve, is not the actual gidanosha. He claimed the gidanosha is some other nerve or some other organ or whatever that you find only in male animals. And it created a whole tumult in the Jewish world. Can we find some way to refute him? So Rav Yonason actually writes in a tshuva of his, I think, or in one of his svarim or whatever, he writes that he brings proofs against this menacher. One of them being he brings a proof because the smag mentions that the mitzvah is noyig b'schorim on a kevus, so therefore it applies to female animals as well. Which, by the way, led to a big, huge discussion among the achronim after that, because when the smag said that, he means that the mitzvah applies to males and females among human beings. Meaning, if a man or a woman eats gidanosha, they're chayav malchus. Don't say anything about the animals. So it led to a whole thing. Did Rabbi Yonathan misunderstand the snag? Was he maybe referring to a different sefer? Is there a way to answer what he said? It became a very lively, interesting discussion among the Achronim. Anyway, somebody brings a different proof against this Menacher from our Gemara over here. We're mentioning that you have, well, from Tosfos rather. Tosfos is asking, why didn't we mention Gid Anosha as well? The obvious implication is that the Gid Anosha applies to the mother animal as well. Otherwise, there's nothing to talk about. You only have three Isurim in the male animal, the Chel of Dam and Gid Anosha, and only two in the female. The fact that Tosfos is taking it as a given that you have three in both shows not like that Menacher. Shows that Gid Anosha is something you find in both male
now,
and female.
What
this Menacher was thinking.
So
well, now he's in the Oil of Ma'amis. I think he knows the truth. Anyway, all right. Onward. So where are we? Yeah. Okay, so maybe it applies only when there's two Isurim, not three. Okay, fine. But the question is, now we have to ask, according to what opinion do you have three Isurim over here? That in this case, you would have Chelev and Dam and the Eber. Eler, the Meir, we have later on in our paragraph, we have a machlokas between Reb Meir and the Chachamim in the Mishnah. And usually the Chachamim who argue with Reb Meir is usually Reb Yehuda. So therefore, in our Gemara, we're going to assume that it's Reb Yehuda. Mm-hmm. So you have like this. This whole concept that we've been talking about, a ben kua, you find the live baby inside the womb, that you're allowed to eat it without shchita, Reb Meir disagrees with that concept. Reb Meir says the baby will require its own shchita. On the other hand, Reb Meir holds that the... Now, also in that Mishnah, it mentions if you say that the baby is mutter as a ben tkua, then it's chela, the baby's chela and dam will be mutter. It's not considered an animal of its own. If you say that it's considered an animal of its own and it needs its own shchita, like Reb Meir says, then it's chela and dam. It's going to be also just like any other animal. So if you're going like Reb Meir over here, isu chela badam ikka isu yoytzeleka. Reb Meir, because he doesn't hold of the whole concept of ben tkua, he also doesn't hold of the whole concept that if the baby stuck out its arm or leg or whatever, that it's going to be osur. So he doesn't hold that basa basa chayfa applies to that, because anyway, he says the baby is not mutter with the mother's shchita. So therefore, according to him, you only have two isurim in the baby of chelev and dam. There's no third isur on the leg, because according to him, the leg remain mutter, because either way, you have to shech the baby animal.
Even though
he has machitase. He didn't consider that machitase, because not a machitase, if it's not master or anything anyway, you anyway have to shech it. So according to him, you only have chelev and dam, isur yoytzeleka, either of Yehuda, and if you're going according to Rabbi Yehuda in that Mishnah, again, Rabbi Yehuda being the mayor's usual bar plugda, then you have the other way around, isur yoytzeleka, isur chelev and dam leka, then according to him, the chelev and maybe the blood, or not the blood necessarily, fine, but the chelev is mutter. So therefore, because Rabbi Yehuda says, we learn later on in our text, gid hanosha noyeg b'shlil, the issue of Gid Anosha applies to a shlil, to an unborn baby that you found inside the womb. The chel by oster, and its chelev of the baby is oster, divrei Reb Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein noeg b'shlil v'chel by mutter. Rabbi Yehuda says that Gid Anosha does not apply to the unborn baby, and its chelev, and chelev doesn't apply to it either. You would be allowed to eat the chelev. So therefore, so you're telling me that you have a question.
Rabbi says that the Gid Anosha you can, and the chelev you cannot.
No. Forget Dam a second. We're talking about Gid Anosha and Chela.
Yeah.
Reb Meir says both of them are also in an unborn baby. Reb Yehuda says both of them are mutter in an unborn baby.
No, opinion one is and one is
right.
Not.
But the point is, you're telling me, Reb Yirmiyah, that you're asking the question because in this case you're thinking maybe there are three Isurim over here, Chelev and Dam and the Aver that's also, and the three of them combined together. But according to either Reb Meir or Reb Yehuda, you have no more than two. According to Reb Meir, you only have Chelev and Dam. According to Reb Yehuda, you also only have two, Dam and the Dam and the Eber. There's no chelev and there's no chelev. Because dam is one thing. Because dam is called dam like soichu. But chelev is called chelev shor b'kesev.
So what do you think?
So that's the question. So the answer is ela kol mikoyach lo yamin in b'shori. No. So we have to answer like this. When we say that something is only coming mikoyach of something else, that it's coming because indirectly from it, lo yamrinan, then we don't have a question. Deshari, then there's no question, it'll be mutter. We're not going to say it's also because it came mikoyach isur. So therefore, if it was just a matter of that we're concerned because the zera comes from the entire body, and therefore that it comes also from the leg, which is also, that wouldn't be a reason to ask the question.
Kol mikoyach
means anything that's coming mikoyach. That just comes. That you have the zera of the father comes mikoyach. That comes from the power of the entire body, including one aver, which is also, you're not going to say that. Just like we said that you don't have to worry about the fact that it also comes from the chelav and the dam. No. Ella, no. V'hochi tamei bayavon.
You're not going to say that one part of the korach cancels the whole korach?
No, that's what we're saying. Again, it's not even a question of zera zegodim, because it's all within the same body. But the point is, we're not going to say, just like you don't say that the zera, just like even if you say choshen lezera ab, you don't say because the zera came from the, partly from the chelim and dam, therefore the baby should be also. Obviously not. So the same thing. You don't say over here that because it came partly from the leg that it should be also. Forget about two versus three yisurim, because again, according to either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Meir, you don't have three yisurim together anyway. Okay. The question rather is follows. The question rather would be, suppose all this time we've been talking about the Ben Pekua baby, and we've been assuming that it's a male. Suppose instead that's a female animal. Later on, eventually, this female animal gives birth, eventually it itself is bred and gives birth, and when it gives birth is when it starts producing milk. So in that sense, in other words, when Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Ma'olachosh Lazaroi, we were assuming we're asking about the Zera of the Ben Pekua that goes to the next generation. Now we're talking about the Ben Pekua female baby herself when she eventually has Zera, when she eventually has a baby and produces milk. What is the din about that milk?
Why specifically for the female as opposed
because
to
males male? Don't give milk.
No.
Yeah.
But
no, so the question is going to be specifically about milk. We would say like this. Cholav de Alma, look. How is it that you're allowed to drink milk in general? Lav ke Avram and Achai Domi Vashari. Isn't it effectively like Avram and Achai because it comes from a living creature, and yet you're allowed to eat it because we'll learn in Bechoritus that the Torah gives a specific heter that you're allowed to drink milk?
And it comes from meat, doesn't it?
Well, that's true also, but that's neither going to...
It's not really neither.
It comes from the living animal.
It comes from the living
okay,
animal.
And therefore, you would think that it would be also, it should by rights be also as Eivim and Achai, and you actually need an explicit pasuk to tell us that not. Therefore, and you could argue with Shori, yet we say it's mutter, Hoch Hai Nami Loishna. So in this case over here of a female Ben Pekua that had one Eivim that is Osir, you could argue the same thing. Her, the Eivim itself is Osir, but the milk that comes from this animal is not going to be Osir. Ojoma, Hosa, Ojoma, or you could answer it's a different case because a hosim is like a kanta li'isure b'shchita because the difference is in a regular case you can say fine the animal itself as long as it's alive is also is even a chai but at least you can check it and then the whole animal becomes mutter so therefore that later on a heter makes it mutter for us to drink the milk now ha'cha less like a kanta li'isure b'shchita over here. That one leg is not going to become mutter, even if you shech the ben pekua, because the ben pekua doesn't even require shechita. But there's nothing to be mutter that leg. Therefore, you can argue that the milk that now milk definitely comes from the whole body. There's a reason that's why, for example, milk of a trefa animal is also usher. So therefore, by the same logic over here, if you have part of the animal is considered trefa, then maybe the milk from it should be usher.
Yeah, the parts should also be.
Well, the leg, not necessarily the whole rest of the body is not going to be usher. But the leg that came out.
We're asking if the leg is...
If the leg is also, is the milk of that same animal also?
But why do we just limit it from the leg to the milk?
Because everything else, you have no question. There's no question the rest of the animal is mutter.
The chelav is mutter.
The chelav is... Well,
no, but
yeah. Yeah, that's the point. Everything in this animal is mutter because it's a ben pekua. You don't even need to...
Why would you think that the chelav is not?
Because you would think that the chelav itself, maybe it's still... Because maybe chelav is mutter only when you have an animal that is able to get out of its status of being Avram and Achai. But here, this particular ben pekua, the leg of it is never going to become ois Avram and Achai. It's always going to remain Avram and Achai. And since milk definitely draws from the entire body, dam nech of an afachalav, it comes from the bloodstream, so therefore you could argue that it's also. And then for the tekel, which actually is an interesting, there's an interesting side discussion about this in Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Yudal in Yodei, it talks about the dinim of Ben Pekua, talking about in that case, do we have to talk about the case of the baby animal that grew up in its milk, do you have maybe a different case? We could go back to the case over there where you have a male animal that mated with a female one, and after all, we're saying that basically, the question is, in other words, this that we're talking about, okay, let me rephrase that. This that we're talking about, that you can have a question about milk, would that apply
only, would that apply only to this case where it has one leg that's osur? Or could it also apply to the case that we mentioned before, according to the opinion, if you have a baby that's half ben tkua and half not, would you say in that case the milk would also be also for the same reason, because half of it is Avram and Achai and half of it not? So but then why didn't the Gemara mention that point? Why did it only limit Rabbi Yirmiyah's question to the case where it has one, where it has one bad leg? So actually, you have a whole discussion over there in the Noisa Kalim on Shulchan Aruch over there. You have the Bach and the Taz and the Shach and everybody else get involved over there. Would we say in that case maybe we have more reason to be maple, or would we say maybe actually in the case of a half bent core, half not, we have more reason to be machmir? Maybe the reason why the Gemara is not bringing it up as a question is because in the case where you have one bad leg, then you have a question, and the answer is teiku. In the case where it's half bent core, half not, no question, this is how the Shach says it, no question the milk of it will be osur. Because it's even worse than this case, where at least in the case of an animal that it itself is a ben tkua, but it has one leg that's also fine. You're allowed to eat the rest of the animal. Here we said before, according to Choshen Lazarav, it's half ben tkua, half not. We're saying you can't even check the animal itself. So all the more so, the Shach argues the milk of it ought to be also. On the other hand, the Bach argues Fakert. He says, but on the other hand, we're not saying the animal is trefer necessarily in that case. We're just saying you can't check it. So it's like a case that we had before. We had a case where the animal had the simonim, we had ikur simonim, where the simonim were true and loose from their places, where we said the bahag holds that the animal is trefer per se, it's just that you can't check it, but the milk of it is still mutter. So the Bach argues could have the same case over here. So you have a big discussion over there in between the Shach and the Taz in that case. Also, the Shach brings up a point in which he argues on with the Taz. What about, let's say, for example, this Aver is less than 1/60 of the animal. Could we say that maybe the milk that comes in its kayak is bottle of shishin? And the Shach says, on the other hand, no, because who says each Aver gives proportionally to the milk, exactly in its size in the animal? Maybe one Aver supplies more koyach to the milk and one less. So you can't necessarily say that'll be both of the shit.
I mean, if there's anything comes from the leg, that part later stuck out, it's very...
No, but it would still be from the bloodstream, because dam nechav and not the chalav. Yeah, so then in that case... But the point is, even if it's less than 1/60, you could argue, but how do you know it's less than 1/60? Okay. All right. We'll stop over here.